Like, how strange, how weird has this been for you and your family?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's putting a pause on life, and nothing anybody's really experienced. So, you know, especially for athletes and really everybody, you know, we live on routine, we live on, you know, expecting what's going to come next and having an idea of what's coming next. And right now we kind of have no idea. So it's definitely tough, tough to figure out how to kind of spend your days and everything, but we can just do our best and, you know, try to stay in shape our best and keep ourselves busy. And, you know, that's all we can do.
Oh, we'll get into how you're spending your days right now in just a second, but take us back to those final few days of actual functional spring training. When did you guys start to get word from Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, Charlie Montoyo, whoever it was, that this pandemic was getting more serious and that a potential shutdown would be coming? Was there a lot of chatter about that in the final few days?
Everything that you guys were saying, we were saying. So, I mean, I'm sure the minute you guys thought there was a chance that we were going to get shut down, you know, around when the NBA canceled their season or, you know, postponed their season, that's when we thought there might be a chance for us. So, I mean, we literally were just as informed as you guys. Everything was coming so quick, you know, with the news and everything. And we actually knew that our season was postponed during a game in spring training, which was pretty weird, playing games knowing that, you know, we were playing for nothing really. So, you know, definitely a weird time. And, you know, hopefully we never have to go through it again, but we're definitely excited to, you know, get this past us and get playing again.
Speaking about spring training, you had your dad out there as a guest instructor this year. What was that like, the experience having him around the team and yourself and getting ready for the season?
Man, it was awesome. You know, me and my dad have a pretty good relationship, and to have him around, I mean, he's my guy. He's my hitting coach, my coach and everything. So, you know, to have him around was awesome for me, and I think a lot of teammates took advantage of him being around also. And, you know, he made some good relationships with my teammates, and, you know, it was really awesome to have him around. So, you know, hopefully we can have more of it in the future.
So do you go for dinner with him or the guys, or how does that work? Now that is he on the coaches now? Does he go with them or?
No, he would just drive back and hang out with my mom. You know, my mom's by herself all day, so he comes back and shows him mom.
Bo Bichette is with us, Blue Jays shortstop, as we await, and probably will be waiting for a pretty long time still, the start of the 2020 Blue Jays season. This is Leadoff on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Going back to the offseason, Bo, I mean, I remember having an opportunity to visit with you last spring training, and you were telling me that your focus of the offseason 2018 into 2019 was to take as many ground balls every single day as you possibly could, that you felt like you had the offensive side of the game where you wanted it, but defense was a constant topic for you, something that you wanted to address. How did you schedule out your 2019-2020 offseason? What were some of the focuses, having played a number of games in the big leagues, gotten your feet wet last year? What were some of the things you wanted to focus on this winter?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think being in the big leagues and, you know, having a few months to understand what, you know, that level is all about, I realized that I'm definitely capable of playing there, and you know, I have the ability to be really good in every facet of the game. And so for me, this offseason is just figuring out, you know, with my dad and with my trainer and everything, and just figuring out how I can best be, you know, most consistent I can be in every single facet. So, figuring little things out in my swing, approach, defensively, just, you know, working out kinks, make sure, you know, you take care of the little things, on a more consistent basis, and base running, everything. So, for me, this offseason really was just about trying to get better in, you know, every part of the game.
Who do you get advice from? Obviously, your dad, you said, you know, you're really working with him as your hitting coach. And what do you have, like, you work with someone on the coaching staff more than you would others? Or how does that all work with evaluating and trying to figure out what you want to get better at for the next season?
That evaluation process, I mean, that's pretty much on me. Me and my dad sit down at the end of the year and you know, we go through what we think I need to get better at, and we look at every part of the game, like I said, offense, defense, physically, mentally, everything. So me and my dad mostly will come up with that, you know, but I definitely get, you know, some added information from the coaching staff and the front office, and I hear their input too, but I think definitely it's important to want to get better at what you think you need to get better at. So me and my dad sit down and talk about that at the end of the year.
With Bo Bichette on leadoff, you're listening to Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Let's go back to that game in L.A. last summer, Bo, where you took Clayton Kershaw deep twice. You're obviously in the middle of a game. You got to stay focused. But, I mean, it wasn't a slouch that you hit two dingers off of. This is arguably the best pitcher of his generation. At Dodger Stadium, which is one of the epic stadiums in all of baseball. After that second one went out, you're back in the dugout. What are you feeling?
You know, I think, I mean, honestly, I was feeling myself, you know, I was pretty pumped. I think it was a bit surreal, you know, and, you know, like you said, Clayton Kershaw, I mean, I grew up watching him. I grew up wondering what it'd be like to face him, you know, if I'd be able to get a hit, I didn't know. And so to be able to go up there and do what I did was a pretty special thing. I think, you know, I didn't, after the first homer, I don't think I really realized what I did. After the second one, I think I kind of sat down on the bench and kind of realized, like, whoa, I did something pretty cool here. So definitely one of the best moments, you know, of my season.
Do you, as a young player, and I'm obviously asking you specifically, but it could apply to any rookie, any young kid breaking in, do you need those sorts of aha moments where you accomplish something that absolutely makes it clear that, hey, I belong?
You know, I don't know if you need them, but I think if you do belong, you probably get them. You know, and obviously they come at different times for everybody, but I was lucky enough to have a few of them. And, you know, I think it definitely helped me ease in. And like you said, I realized that I'm not only do I belong, but I can play at a high level. And, you know, I felt every night that I was one of the better players on the field. So, you know, I definitely think those help, but I don't think they're necessarily, you know, the most important thing.
After you had the season you had, you know, a lot of professional athletes sometimes can struggle that second year. I played in the NHL, and I remember having that breakthrough season, and then following up was tough, and I was told that before, you know, into the summer and training, getting ready for it. And it was, I had challenging times in my second year. Have you thought about that at all, or had any advice? And, you know, has this situation with the season being postponed affected that? It made it worse or better?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer that. You know, I'm not sure what this is going to do to our game, what this is going to do to preparation and all that. I'm just going to do my best. So, you know, in terms of the sophomore slump or whatever, obviously people talk about it all the time, but, you know, for me, every off season I go in, I'm trying to get better, trying to, you know, I'm not looking at what I did the year before. I'm not looking at any of that. For me, it's just about trying to get better and figure out how I can, you know, improve my game for the next year. So I always tell people that doesn't always necessarily mean the stats going to be better. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I can go home after the season and know that I got better and help the team win in more ways than one and more ways than I did the last year, then, you know, that's a successful season for me. So, you know, obviously, you know, the stats being better would be awesome, and I'd be pumped for that. But, you know, that's not really what it's all about.
With Bo Bichette, how are you spending your days right now? I mean, there's so much talk. NBA, NHL players are wondering if they're going to have any time to compete for the Stanley Cup, the Larry O'Brien Trophy. We don't know when baseball is going to come back. Are you able to train in the way that you would like, understanding that you've got to respect physical distancing and all that? How close are you, or closely are you able to replicate a normal day in your life?
Yeah, I kind of just went back. You know, we don't have a timetable, obviously. So, you know, I kind of just went back to kind of a quote unquote like beginning of the off season, and I'll ramp up quicker than a normal off season. But, you know, my my parents, you know, my family is lucky enough to have our own gym. So I'm able to get in there and get a lot of really good work in. I have two teammates living with me, Forrest Wall and Santiago Espinal, and they, you know, they get in there with me and we push each other. And so, you know, in terms of the physical aspect and training and workouts and everything like that, you know, I'm getting just as much in as I would, you know, in a normal day. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Do you get a chance to talk to other guys on the team right now, Kevin or Vladdy, or are you guys Zooming each other and chatting and keeping up with what everyone's doing right now?
Yeah, I'm not too much. I mean, I've talked to Grichuk probably more than anybody. But, you know, I mean, I've sent some texts to Kevin, sent some texts to Vladdy, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of nothing anybody can do about it. There's nothing really to talk about either. I mean, we'll all just sit in our house, you know. So, but hopefully we're back together soon and, you know, get this thing going.
How close, Bo, do you think this team is to being a legitimate playoff contender?
You know, I think we're there. I think one of the things that sucks the most about, you know, all that's going down is obviously there's so many more bigger issues than, you know, what we're dealing with, but as a team. But, you know, the way that we felt during spring training, the at-bats that we were having, we were competing, which is not necessarily a, you know, a normal thing in spring training. Like, we were really trying to get ready for the season, and, man, we felt good. Like, we were feeling confident. I had multiple teammates come up to me and be like, man, this sucks. You know, I really felt like we had a chance to compete. And so, you know, when you've got a full team of people thinking that we've got a chance to make the playoffs, that's something special, and I truly believed it too. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't get a chance to do it over a 162-game season, but, you know, whatever season we do get, you know, we're going to do our best and, you know, hopefully make some waves and prove some people wrong.
Give me the scouting report on how you, the hitter, would try to attack Nate Pearson, the pitcher.
You know, I really haven't seen him pitch that much, so I really don't know. Obviously, he's got a huge fastball, and so I would just do my best to try and trust myself that I can catch up to it without cheating for it, because if you cheat for it, then, you know, you leave yourself susceptible to everything else. So, you know, he's a great pitcher and huge arm. I mean, I don't know if I've ever faced anything like it. So, you know, he'd be tough, and you can see it the way he pitches against guys in spring training. You can see he's tough. And so, you know, we're definitely excited to have him pitch for us.
So I was told that you're quite the tennis player growing up. Do you still get to play?
Yeah, I do play. In the off season, I play a lot. I was actually thinking about picking it up again. You know, while we got nothing to do, I got a tennis court pretty close to my house, so, you know, less than a mile. So, I mean, I could ride over there and play a little bit. I got a machine, too, that, you know, I use and get a little footwork in. But, yeah, I love playing tennis, man. I love watching tennis. And so, you know, definitely that sucks that I can't watch. They just canceled Wimbledon, which is... Yeah, which sucks, but, you know, like I said, we have bigger things to worry about than sporting events, so hopefully everybody can do their part and we can slow this thing down.
Favorite player in the world?
Oh, Rafa, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah?
No doubt about it.
There you go. Yeah.